This is Fresh Air. Audrey Hepburn, an actress who epitomized grace and elegance, died yesterday at the age of 63. She had colon cancer. Her first major film, Roman Holiday, won her an Academy Award. Hepburn also starred in Breakfast at Tiffany's, Funny Face, Wait Until Dark, Charade, and My Fair Lady. She made over 20 films in the 50s and 60s, but made only 4 films after that. Since 1988, she had been a special ambassador for the United Nations Children's Fund. Her UNICEF work took her through Africa and Latin America. Last year, she visited Somalia. She knew from experience how important aid is for starving children. She survived the Nazi invasion of Holland, where she was living with her mother and brothers. She told me about her wartime experiences in a 1988 interview.
Our house was between the lines. The British had landed, had their airborne landing in Arnhem. You're too young to know about that, but maybe you've read about it. And that was one of the bloodiest battles of the war, which failed, and they withdrew to the other side of the river. And we were in the area right there next to Arnhem with the Germans behind us and the British on the other side of the river. And it became a no-man's land for the civilians. We were not allowed to leave because nobody wanted a lot of refugees taking to the roads, and we had nowhere to go anyway. But no provisions were made. So we really lived from hand to mouth and exchanged whatever we had for a few turnips or whatever it was. And the last winter was really very serious. But UNICEF and the Red Cross came in instantly after the liberation with their trucks and filled the local churches and schools with medications and blankets and food. And I was one of the very lucky recipients.
You've never been a very public person, even as an actress. I think you've really avoided a lot of publicity.
How right you are.
I'll tell you the truth. I was almost surprised when I heard that you were a special ambassador for UNICEF, because it meant being in the spokesperson position, mm-hmm. and it's a position you'd avoided for so long.
Yes, but you see, one of the reasons that I never enjoyed doing publicity very much is that I found it very boring to talk about myself over and over again, apart from the fact that I wanted to protect my private life. Whereas now there's something I do want to talk about, and I welcome the opportunity to.
So it's a way of, in a way, using the attention that you would naturally get and using that
right.
for a cause that you believe in.
That's exactly right, yes.
Would you mind terribly if I asked you a few questions about yourself?
No, please.
Are you retired from movies? Do you think of yourself as being retired from films?
I tell you, I withdrew. I've never, because when you say you've retired, that means you'll never ever work again, and you sort of, you know, retired with a capital R. I've never done that. It's sort of ironic because I started to withdraw from movies when my eldest son started going to school, because I suffered so from being away from him, and I'd wanted to have him so much that I just decided that was too great a sacrifice. So I stayed home with him, and over the years I've done an occasional picture during the holidays, and then I had a second son, and so that was the same story. So first, I really stayed home on account of my children, and now I'm flying around the world because of children. So it's a switch.
You know, I'm thinking that when you started making movies in the 50s, that the really fashionable female figure at the time was the full-bodied hourglass figure, you know, very bosomy, big hips. and you are and were such a thin woman, and really set a new kind of style in a way because of your build. But were you self-conscious about being that thin at the time, knowing that,
oh,
you know,
sure.
It was the buxomy woman that was in?
I grew up full of complexes. I was, you know, I realized what one was supposed to look like, and here I was, rather thin, as you say, and flat-chested and lanky and so forth. But apparently William Wyler didn't mind, and so, you know, today I can live with it very happily.
Well, think of how many women would would love to be you or look like you. Did you go through a period of trying to gain weight?
No, I've never been able to. The only time I ever sort of put on some weight or got a little bit tubby was right after the war, when the first food started coming in and we'd get care packages with jars of jam and and condensed milk, and I just eat the whole thing. Eat the whole jam jar, and you know, with a spoon, or, and the condensed milk too, and then obviously be very ill after it. But I put a bit of weight on it. I must have been 10 pounds heavier than I am today.
You had been a ballet dancer when you were young, before you took to acting. When you danced with Fred Astaire in Funny Face, did you feel like you learned something from dancing with him?
Oh, that's the understatement of the year, because obviously I couldn't learn from Fred Astaire, because I could never learn what he can do. But I had the great thrill of dancing with him, and enjoyed the sort of, what's the word for it? Almost the ecstasy of being sort of swept off the floor, you know? He was so light on his feet, and he made you look so much better, and he made you dance better than you could. And it was a divine experience. Fred was a very sweet man, and we had a lot of fun together, and it was one of the better experiences of my life.
We're listening to a 1988 interview with Audrey Hepburn. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our interview with Audrey Hepburn. You were wonderful in Charade opposite Cary Grant. And I think one of the greatest things about acting opposite him is probably his sense of timing when he does his lines.
Oh, brilliant.
It must be great to work off of someone like that.
Oh, sure. I mean, and that's what I was saying before, that it was true also of Rex Harrison and all these marvelous stars that I was lucky enough to play opposite. It's, you know, it's like, I don't know, playing tennis. Even if you are not very good, but if you play with a really good player, it improves your game. And it's hard to miss when you're working with people like that.
How much did you rehearse your lines with Cary Grant? Did you try to do them a lot to get the timing down, or was it more on the spontaneity of it?
You know, timing you can't rehearse. It's an instinct,
mm-hmm.
Especially comedy. I mean, that's what made Cary unique. That's why there haven't been a whole lot of Cary Grants. It was part of him. It was his genius, if you like. And you can rehearse a scene, like which door you're going to come in and which chair you're going to sit down on and where you're going to speak and so forth. But you can't rehearse that kind of thing. It has to come from within, like all acting, whether it's comedy or whether it's emotional.
Now, you start in the film version of My Fair Lady. The singing was dubbed by Marnie Nixon?
Right.
Did you know that was going to happen when you made the film?
Oh, yes. But I mean, nevertheless, I worked very hard on my singing, because actually what they did was, as Marnie Nixon had to sing to her soundtrack, if you like, at the same time she also had to match me, and we both recorded the songs, me the best I could and she with her lovely voice. But also, you know, the men in the mixing rooms are so brilliant, because in many cases, in several of the songs, the start of a phrase would be my voice and they would just blend into hers. She sang all the difficult parts and I was able to do a few phrases that were within my reach, and that's why it all matches so well.
When you withdrew from movies, did you feel that there was an Audrey Hepburn type that you had established, and that there was somebody else who was waiting in the wings to be the next Audrey Hepburn?
No, I've never been. That would be a little complicated, and I think you know, I'm not that at all about myself. I've just been me all my life, and I've been terribly fortunate to have this career and become an actress just by chance, really. I mean, as we said earlier, I trained as a dancer, and that's what I thought I was going to be. But I don't have an image of myself at all.
But the movie industry had an image of you, though.
It's in the public's eye. It's very hard. I mean, you look at yourself in the mirror, but that's not what other people see, whether it's you or whether it's me, you know. And we're very critical about ourselves. And fortunately, people who like you or love you are not as critical. Otherwise, we'd have no audience.
Just one more thing about movies I wanted to ask you. In several of your films, you've played women who are either very sophisticated, or in one movie, even a princess. Now, you grew up the daughter of a baroness. Did you get taught, in a way, how to be elegant when you were young?
That's a very sweet question. You know, as you say, being the daughter of a baroness doesn't make you any different, except that my mother was born in 1900 and had had herself a very strict and, Victorian upbringing, if you like. So she was very demanding of us, of me and my brothers, and manners, as she always said, don't forget, are kindnesses. You must always be kind. Opening the door for an old lady isn't just a routine. It's so that, you know, she's helped. And she was always very adamant about that.
But even your posture and your carriage have always been so perfect.
Well, that has, if that is so, and I'm glad to hear you think so, that has to do with ballet training, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a straight back, and my mother probably had me sleep without a pillow. Or
oh, really? Is that supposed to be good for neck posture or something?
Babies shouldn't have pillows, if they have one, very, very flat ones.
Well, speaking of necks, you have such a gorgeous neck. Were you aware of that when you were growing up? Was that something
no,
you were proud of? Or
I tell you, no. I'm a much happier person about myself today than I was then. I always thought, you know, that I'd never get off the shelf. I didn't think I looked right at all. And today, many movies later, and two sons, and lots of friends, and I may have a few wrinkles, but I'm much happier.
Now that you're working for UNICEF as a special ambassador, are you feeling that somehow the movies that you gave us aren't enough, that you want to do something that is more humanistic, more socially conscious?
No, one has nothing to do with the other. I mean, movies have been my working life. I've always had a life of my own, a private life, and I've always had very deep feelings about my children, about other people's children, about, I dare say, about other people's suffering. And this is just an extraordinary opportunity that's been given me to be allowed to do something finally. One tries to do it near to home, or if you hear of somebody who's in need, or wherever one can. But it's such a relief to me to be able to do something about these children.
Audrey Hepburn, I thank you very much for the time you spent with us. Thank you very much.
I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Audrey Hepburn died yesterday at the age of 63. Our interview was recorded in 1988. This is Fresh Air.